Well, welcome, folks, to Bethel Gilead Community Church. This is our recorded service on BGC Live. I'm Pastor David, and you'll see that the pulpit's been moved, and we are actually setting up for our first live service here at Bethel Gilead. And we have about 50 to 60 chairs available, and they're spread out so we can keep social distancing. We have masks that people can wear, and we're looking for our first live service. If you would like to, you could actually go to our Bethel Gilead Community Church Facebook page. It is there that we will be doing our first live stream. Or you can stay right where you're at and receive the same message with the music by our girls who will be singing, and we'll join you momentarily together around God's throne of grace. But we'll pray today for our nation and our service today, and I'm glad that you can join us. Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that we can gather around your throne of grace. And some of us are in our homes and others are here, Lord, but together we come under the name of Christ around the throne of mercy and grace. And it is your will that we seek, Lord, as we contemplate in song who Christ is, as we look into the scriptures and open our hearts to the teaching that our pastor will give us. We pray, Father, for our nation. And in some ways, we are a nation that is in turmoil. And we're asking, Lord, for your hand of deliverance, that you will give justice where justice is so well needed. You will come alongside those who are aching and provide the comfort and assurance that, God, you are one who cares and you are working in government. And we want to pray for all our politicians, our police officers, and others, Lord, who are trying to, as the best they can, keep the peace as well as to allow for protests to go on so that the voice of the people can be heard. Just like you, Lord Jesus, we all come to you with our needs and our concerns, and the government has been established to have an ear to hear what your people would have to say. So, Lord, we look forward to this hour with anticipation as we gather in with one another in song and lift up the name of Christ. It's with anticipation we look forward to our pastor opening the word, and may it minister to our hearts. May it speak to us in this very hour. Again, Lord, we give you thanks and we give you praise in the name of Christ. Amen.
This is just over a year ago, I lost one of the principal cheerleaders of my life. It was my grandma. She was a simple and a short little lady, but she lived life big. She was full of spunk, unafraid, and for good reason. She'd seen it all in her day. Grandma was born in 1911. Imagine that. She lived through the Spanish flu epidemic. Thinking about our present epidemic, 1918, some 500,000 Americans died at that time. My grandma survived polio outbreaks year in and year out in the United States. Polio would resurface. She lived through World War I, the Depression, World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam War, the Cuban Missile Crisis, the Cold War era, into the 1960s and civil unrest. And it's about that time that I came along. And yet, you know, the thing I loved about my grandma is she always maintained an upbeat attitude about life, about faith, and what we might call today traditional family values. She loved people. She was a student of history. Even though she didn't have an eighth grade education, she was quite well read. James Michener, one of her favorites. And you know what? The thing that drew me to my grandma was that she believed in me as a person. She was an encourager. She was always encouraging me to get out and experience the world. Go climb a tree, she'd tell me. Ride your bike off into the horizon. Or she'd pass me Grandpa's BB gun and say, get out there and terrorize the chipmunks. Go find adventure. That was my grandma's way of life, of living. You know, when I went to Argentina at age 20 or 21, it was my grandma, and I remember her words telling me to go out and see the world, kid. She called me kid. Go out and see the world. Find adventure. What a great encourager she was. That's interesting to me because in contrast, it seems like, I know this isn't fully true, but my mom was always cautioning me to play it safe. Almost the opposite of my grandma, my mom frequently was admonishing me or me and my brothers to stop what we were doing. That was dangerous. Get down from there. You're too high. You might fall. Let me see that. That's too sharp. You can't play with that. Those admonitions to stop doing something because it was dangerous, to play it safe, where my grandma said, get out, experience life, adventure, take chances. You know, one of the primary challenges to your Christian faith, I think more so in America than anywhere on earth today, is playing it safe. It's the temptation to not take chances. Isn't it interesting that the symbol of Christianity is a cross? Because Christianity, from its inception, was risky business. There's risk involved in following Jesus Christ. It has to do with the cross. And we as Americans have taken that principal symbol of our faith, and we've done what no first century Middle Easterner could imagine. We've tamed the cross. We've turned the cross into jewelry, into necklaces and earrings. We've taken wood and we've polished and stained it in the form of a cross and we hung it on a wall. Crosses. But you see, the cross was to those early Christians what a mousetrap is to mice today. It was a symbol of death, means of execution. It was Jesus Christ who said, if anyone wants to follow me, let him take up his cross. That's risky business. You could die if you walk in his train. Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Boy, as Americans, we don't mind the third imperative there, follow me. It's the denying ourselves and taking up our crosses, the idea of self-sacrifice and service that just doesn't ring so true to us in our leisure-loving ways. Christianity is risky business. You can't play it safe and be a Christian. British author Jeanette Winterson once noted, "What you risk reveals what you value." That's insightful to me. What you risk reveals what you value. What you believe is important. That's what your values are. They're simply beliefs about what's important, and typically they demonstrate themselves in your lifestyle, in the way that you live, what you work for, what your energy goes towards exemplifies or demonstrates what you value in life. What you risk reveals what you value. Now, as Christians, what should our values be? And how might those be revealed by the risks that we take? Jesus addressed this idea in the Bible. I'd like to invite you to turn with me to his words found in Luke chapter 10. If you have a Bible handy there, Luke chapter 10, and it's a parable. It's a story that he told with a poignant point, something he wants to drive home, and it has to do with risk. It has to do with value. In essence, it has to do with love. In fact, I'd like to preempt the parable with the context of the parable. Just a little before we get to the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, verse 30, back up a little bit to Luke chapter 10, verse 25 and following. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. That's not unusual. The Pharisees, the scribes, the lawyers, experts in the law, from time to time would challenge Jesus and his teaching. And so here comes a leader in Israel. You know, Christianity is risky business, but leading is risky business too. I mean, imagine being a leader and leading people astray. Or what if you're a leader and you're leading and no one follows? Boy, that's the risk that you take in leading. And so here's this man who is a religious leader, and he checks Jesus. He tests him. He asks, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus returns the question. He says, "Well, what's written in the law? How do you read it?" That expert in the law answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, with your whole self, with your heart, that is your will, with your soul, your emotions, with your strength, that's your physical body, and with your mind, that's intellectual. Love God with everything you have, and love your neighbor as yourself." Now, Jesus has already said this several times, recorded in the Gospels. It's possible and apparent that this man was listening to Jesus' previous instruction. And the test here isn't so much the answer to Jesus's and his question, "How do I inherit eternal life?" But it's the next question. As this man asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus said, "That's right, you've answered correctly. Do this and you will live. You'll have life, God's life." But the man wanted to justify himself, verse 29, so he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor?" And so ensues what is one of the most famous parables of Jesus Christ. It's called the parable of the Good Samaritan. Pick up there in the text. In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes. They beat him, and he went away, leaving him half dead. Boy, you know, not only is leading risky business, but loving is risky business. Loving God, loving others, loving your neighbor. What happens if they don't return the love? What happens if they use me? I'm vulnerable. Well, I could also become fulfilled through a meaningful, loving relationship. That's the risk you take in loving. But you know what? Life is also risky business. Living is life-threatening. Imagine this guy leaving Jerusalem. It was a gated city. It was a safe place. And going to such a place as Jericho, what in the world was he thinking that day? You know, there's suffering and sorrow and sickness and dying and death out there. Life is risky business, living day in and day out. And the coronavirus, in essence, in my opinion, is simply one more danger added to a long list of possible maladies waiting for you as you leave your house each day. This man left his house in Jerusalem on his way to Jericho. He determined to take the risk because risks reveal what's valuable, what you value. Apparently, he had something important that he wanted to do. He took the risk. And as he did, he was jumped, beaten, robbed. He was mugged and left half dead. Verse 31, a priest happened to be going down the same road. And when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. A little social distancing here from that man. He saw the risk of stopping what he was doing. He determined it wasn't worth it, apparently. I got a phone call, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago. And it was a friend who said, so-and-so's house is on fire. Come over quick. I jumped in the car and I drove over south into Silver Lake. Sure enough, the house was burnt down. It was a total loss. And here we are in this corona quarantine, social distancing with hand sanitizers and gloves. And as I came upon the scene, everything as far as protocol was out the window. People were huddled there and they were helping one another. This man and his wife were safe. And as I walked upon the scene, she walked up to me with arms open. And I extended myself and told her how sorry I was. It was a total loss. You know, Jesus said, if you love your neighbor as you love yourself, you'll take the risk when necessary to demonstrate that. He said a priest went by on the other side. Verse 32, so too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. Linda mentioned the other day she was sitting in line at the drive-thru at Southern Michigan Bank. Little old lady had walked through the drive-thru. She had a walker, and she stumbled and fell in the parking lot. And she said it was really neat. Two or three people in their cars there jumped out of their cars. They forgot all about social distancing and quarantines. No masks or gloves. They reached down to help her. The man from the business across the street came out running. He saw her too, and he reached down, and the three of them consoled and helped her make sure she wasn't hurt. And this man went and got his car, and he drove it around, apparently with his wife, and the two of them helped her into the back seat of the car, and they ushered her down to the retirement home where she was living. It was a good Samaritan. They were stepping across, regardless of the risk, they determined it was worth it. She was of that kind of value, and they would extend themselves. Apparently, Jesus said the Levite didn't. When he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, here's an upstanding Jew. He is a leader in Israel. He's a teacher of the law, the word of God. and the Samaritans were outlaws. They were half-breeds. They were unclean. Well, you couldn't get within 6 feet of them. In fact, you could not allow their shadow to cross you, or you would be considered unclean. A Samaritan. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. When he saw him in his condition, he felt compassion for him. He went to him. He bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey. He took him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and he gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you may have." And so Jesus asks this stately, well-educated, spiritual leader, this teacher of the law, an expert, Luke calls him. He asks him, "Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert of the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus said, "You got it. It was the one who took the risk and extended himself according to the need of the moment." Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." It's what God is after from you and I, in a practical way, to demonstrate with our lives what we say is true with our lips, to live out our faith, and when necessary, to take risks for the sake of others. Christianity is risky business. You know, we're experiencing some fallout from the corona chaos. I think it's a challenge to you and I and our Christian values, whether we're willing to risk or not on behalf of others. We have had to forestall corporate worship and fellowship, body life, outreach. But now as things are beginning to open up and we're determining what kind of fallout has been since we last met in the last 3 months, I think we're seeing all kinds of opportunities. And it's time for the church to get going, to get busy. Boy, panic is epidemic. There's a syndrome, a panic syndrome all around us. People are nerved up. They're fearful. They lost hope in society. I blame the media for that. Parenthetically, I believe that that is at essence a problem. And the first remedy is to turn off the TV. It's to get out of social media, Facebook, whatever. Panic is incessant everywhere we turn. Fear. Loneliness, likewise, is seen in epidemic proportions. It's quarantine and social distancing. It's people like never before, alone and lonely. Kim said a couple weeks ago, she ran into a gal, I don't know, they're out somewhere, and they kind of stopped and hesitated, the natural inclination. And they both determined on the spot, again out the window. She hugged her. And she said the gal began to sob in her arms. She wept. She said, "Do you know how long it's been since anyone has touched me?" Loneliness. That's counter human. That's not according to our kind, our design. Do you see what you risk reveals what you value? And I believe, like never before, if we value people, we've got to seek out those who are fearful, those who are lonely. We've got to extend ourselves as Christians. You know, there's all kinds of conspiracy theories afoot right now. Distrust of authority, government agencies, bad actors. And no doubt they're out there. They're taking advantage of the crisis for their own sake. In spite of that, I want to suggest you and I live our faith day in and day out, regardless of all kinds of possible conclusions as to causes of the corona crisis. You and I've got a job to do. It makes no difference in the end because we are here now in this situation. And I want to suggest that there's a forgotten factor in all that's occurred here. Too frequently, we have forgotten our faith in God. Could I suggest to you that the number one defense against the coronavirus has been and always is faith? It's faith in God. Isaiah 7, verse 9 says, "If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all." All these human strategies, quarantines and masks and distances and drugs, and they cannot rival God's divine design as what I see is our primary defense. That, in fact, we could call immunity. God has designed your body to fight disease, bacteria, germs, viruses, pathogens. And if we live according to his design, I think we can have great hope as to the outcome in our own lives. It's interesting to hear the studies coming out just now about vitamin D and vitamin D deficiencies and the impact that the coronavirus has on people who are deficient in vitamin D as opposed to those who aren't. That is by design. Nutrition and rest. Stress is another one that weakens the immune system. We are more vulnerable for every type of disease and illness when we're stressed out. And I don't know if I've ever seen a time when people are more stressed out than they have been here in the last couple of months. That's not by God's design. That's a human doing. When you and I live life with a sense of confidence, hope, and peace in God, that changes the scenario. That's everything. You say, well, what's the answer? As always, it's follow the leader. I think that's the answer. Follow the leader. Which leader? Who's the leader? Who's worth following at this time? Boy, I want to highlight the words of Jesus Christ, John chapter 8, verse 12. He said, "I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness." I'm the light of the world. He was certainly back then the light that brought life, immortality to the world. Is he today? Is he worth following today? Jesus said, "Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness." Never? Not ever. You see, I can follow Christ from a distance and I can choose to veer off and suddenly I can find myself in a dark place. It happens to Christians all the time. Why is that? It's because they failed to follow. They're not following the leader, Jesus Christ. Boy, they're following something or someone else. What you risk reveals what you value. Let me summarize here by asking you this morning, what do you value? What's most important to you? What do you believe is the essence of life and living? And what are you risking to demonstrate that belief, that value in your life? Number two, how should faith respond in our present crisis? Well, we can play it safe. You can be a casual, a cultural, and a carnal Christian, but you cannot be a kingdom Christian unless you take risks. Unless you determine that the cause of Jesus Christ is worth risking your life for. And you're willing to step out in obedience to God and do what might be that necessary in order to demonstrate faith, hope, confidence in him, to love God and to love others. Jesus said, that's everything. What does it look like? that looks like a good Samaritan, who in spite of the risks, stepped forward, did it anyway. He reached out. He valued people. And in Jesus' name, he cared for them. Let me ask you, will you be that kind of person in the days ahead? Can God count on you as a good Samaritan? And will you come to someone's rescue? I think you know somebody today, as I suspect I do as well, who needs rescuing. Years ago, I was traveling through a Villa Miseria with a couple of pastors in Argentina. Oh, it was a slum area in Rosario, Argentina, one of the larger cities there. And as we left that place, spending the day there interacting with the people, Enrique Montenegro, one of those pastors, asked me, he said, "What did you see today? Tell me about how it felt as an American in this stark poverty." Very contrast, very big contrast to what I'd ever experienced or seen. And after I admitted my discomfort and some of the uncertainties, fears even, of those scenarios, he pointed me to a passage in the book of Proverbs, and I'd like to leave you with this passage today. It's found in chapter 24 of Proverbs, beginning in verse 10. And I want you to think through the flow of this passage as it relates to you at this time in your life. As this quarantine is being lifted and you and I are permitted to go forth in public, I think like never before, God is looking to you and to me to extend ourselves, to reach out, if necessary, to take risks, because we believe, because we love, because we know that's what's most important. Proverbs 24, verse 10, if you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength? Boy, these are times of trouble. These are troubled times. This past week, they've gotten worse with all the social upheaval happening right now. Like never before, our culture is in trouble. God says, if you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength? Rescue those who are being led to death. Hold back those who are staggering towards slaughter. But if you say we knew nothing about this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who guards your life know it? And the third question, will he not repay each person according to what he has done? The answer to all three questions is yes, yes, and yes. Rescue those who are being led to death. Hold back those who are staggering towards slaughter. Do you know somebody who's staggering towards slaughter? Well, you may need to stop and think about it for a moment. But I wonder if someone internally, inwardly is dying close by, and you could be the answer to their prayers. If you say, I knew nothing about this, the proverb goes on. Does not he who weigh your heart perceive it? And does not he who guards your life know it? And will he not repay each person according to what he has done? Risky business. That's your heritage and mine as a Christian. The Christian faith, Christianity. It's always involved risk. It's like a cross, Jesus said, that you have to shoulder and walk forward with. It's living a sacrificial life on behalf of the needs of others. And day in and day out, choosing, if necessary, to risk in order to demonstrate what's most valuable, the lives of others around you. Lord, we thank you for the truth that I think for all of us has come of age. This is a time now, in spite of the chaos around us, where Christians need to be clear and compassionate, where we need to move into action, where we need to follow our leader, Jesus Christ, who lights the way in so much darkness. And so I pray for myself and I pray for any who hear that you would prompt and prod us as to what's most important, and that you would move us into a place where we can exercise our faith and even come to others' rescue. I pray that in a way that will honor you as our good God and King. And so we pray in Jesus, the Savior's name. Amen.
Change my heart.